Hey, Bridgeway. Good to see you here today. Welcome to Church Online, Church at Home. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that God is just taking amazing care of you and the people around you. I miss you so much. But it's good that we have this time to be together. In fact, as we're together, I need to start off with a bit of a confession. I need to get something off my chest. I need to be honest with you as a church. I've found over the last 4 weeks that I've kind of developed this new religion, this new spiritual practice, this ritual, if you will, and I just need to come clean. In fact, I need to let you in on a little bit of a secret. I call it the late night bowl of ice cream. Can I get an amen? Oh, don't judge, don't judge. I have found that I look forward to my late night bowl of ice cream. In fact, I can't even resist right now. So good. Ben and Jerry's, you did it again. Mint chocolate cookie. I'm more of a Cherry Garcia kind of guy, but you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. I went to Meijer, they didn't have my Cherry Garcia, and I'm pleasantly surprised with this. But you know, I'm not an ice cream snob. In fact, Haagen-Dazs would do. I'd be just as happy with Breyers or Country Fresh or Hudsonville. Purple Cow would even do. I love ice cream, and I look forward. I crave the evening indulgence in a bowl of ice cream. Let me ask you for a moment, what's kind of become your go-to during these difficult, unprecedented, uncertain times? Where are you going and seeking comfort? And maybe what is it that you crave? I want to begin a new conversation with you and really talk about how we can have this craving in God and we can never lose our contact with Him through what we call prayer. And praying to God is so needed in all times, but especially now, trusting God in what I see to be a really hurting world all around. So let me just ask you, how's your prayer life going? And just for a moment, could you imagine with me, I mean, what would it look like if you really truly began to pray? Not kind of the Lord help me, Lord save me, bless my burger and fries kind of prayers, but the prayer that really connected you intimately to God. And can you imagine for a moment that if you actually spent some time developing that conversation, can you imagine what that would do for your relationship with God? I mean, what if you craved talking to God as much as you did that bowl of ice cream? Or you fill in the blank. Maybe for you right now, a great deal of comfort has come from just missing your friends. And so you'll do anything to be close to your friends. And so you're on Zoom dialing up friends. And while it satisfies something, it doesn't satisfy everything. And maybe for some of you, you just lose yourself. You can get lost in a book and you're like, wow, this stay-at-home order isn't really all that bad. I'm getting a lot of reading done. Maybe there's others of you out there that it's become kind of this trap, this addiction, or you just can't pull yourself away from even good things like catching up with friends or scrolling through social media. What is your go-to? And now in this time, what would it look like to replace that with a connection with God in prayer? You know, when I think about the days after the first Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, and the very first followers of him, I'm struck by what they did. I mean, think about how Jesus, for those very first disciples, was everything. I mean, he was their friend. He was their teacher. They called him rabbi. He was their savior, and then he did it. He pulled it off. I mean, he died on a cross, and 3 days later was resurrected from the tomb, and people saw him. They witnessed the resurrected Jesus. We're told in the scriptures that for 40 days, Jesus walked among them and had lunch with them, had meals with them. And over 500 people saw Jesus. But then Jesus ascended into heaven. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit and then ascended to heaven. And you might wonder, well, like what do they do? And the Bible tells us exactly what they did, kind of their reliance, their indulgence was in prayer. Acts chapter 14 gives us this really interesting verse. It lists out all the disciples that were following Jesus, and then it says this. It says in verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I mean, doesn't that seem kind of strange? Things never went back to normal for these first disciples. And the reality is, probably for us, things will never go back to normal either. I mean, we're flattening the curve, and depending on the news and who you listen to, it seems like things are getting better at some points and maybe worse in some others. But the reality for us is that things will never be the same again. And that's exactly what it was for these disciples as well. Things would never be the same without the resurrection. Their life had been completely transformed. And it kind of seems strange, doesn't it? I mean, it says that they were constantly together in prayer. You're probably thinking they must have had all the time in the world on their hands to pray. And their life would have been really no different than ours. They had jobs to maintain. They had kids to take care of. In fact, their landscape and environment around them would have been incredibly challenging. I mean, think about it. The religious leaders and the Romans worked together to kill Jesus. If they killed Jesus, what would stop them once Jesus is gone, after all these accounts of seeing the resurrected Jesus, what would stop them from putting any one of his followers on the cross as well? It would have been incredibly trying time. And what do we find these disciples doing? What's their go-to, their indulgence, is prayer. Again, I ask you, how's your prayer life these days? You know, I'll be the first to maybe admit that my prayer life may have come a long ways over the years, but it's still not what I want it to be. It's not as strong as I would like it to be. It's not always the first thing I turn to when times are uncertain. And I find that in this day and age, I need prayer more than ever. And so I want to really begin this conversation with you about how we can trust God in a hurting world because of the prayer that we have. I would say very clearly that I can't think of a time when our world needs prayer more than it does right now. I mean, think about it. There's things going on right now. Things seem to be such a mess. And we've got political upheaval. We've got tension between who's in charge at the national level and the state level. We've got a virus that's still raging out of control. And most notably, we have loved ones and people that we see that are losing their life to this virus. I heard from a pastor that in his denomination, 9 pastors have died recently because of COVID-19 and the impact that that's had on the churches around them. And I just know that this has impacted all of us to some degree. I'm concerned about the health and the nature of how we interact, and especially when we do come back to gathering together as a church. But we need prayer now more than ever before. And so over the next several weeks, I just want to talk about prayer, especially for those of us that maybe have never taken a step into a conversational relationship with God. So many of you find yourself just in times of grief and mourning. And I want to recognize that as your pastor. And I just want you to know that we are here for you, that we are praying for you. We are lifting up your needs. You are not alone. But now is a time more than ever to turn to God in prayer. So as we begin this conversation, I want us to think about how we can all stretch ourselves and grow in the way we pray and talk to God. I want to talk in this series about how to get beyond just the superficial or half-hearted attempts at prayer. I want us to be real about our prayer life. And I hope in this series to talk about how we can move maybe even beyond ourselves and begin to pray for the people around us. How do you pray for someone else? I want to get into all of those topics, and ultimately I want to show that prayer is far more vital and far more important than any indulgence, any bowl of ice cream we could ever have. In this first message, this is just really an introduction to the topic, I want to turn to probably the most famous verse in all the Bible that deals with prayer. If you ask any pastor, what's the go-to verse on prayer, they'll probably tell you this verse, Philippians 4, verse 6. I want to read this for you. This is written by a guy named Paul, and he's encouraging his church in Philippi to really increase their prayers as well. They find themselves tired and worn out, and even uses the word anxious. Watch what he says to this anxious, nervous, worried church. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Some of you are probably reading that, and he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Come on, have you not heard about this virus going on? I mean, there's a lot to be anxious about. I think this is a verse that needs to be underlined in every Bible, because this is where you need to go to if you're anxious or worried. Do not be anxious. In fact, we're going to replace anxiety with a conversation with the one who brings peace. We're going to make that exchange. God offers that exchange for every single one of us. This is so vital as a verse. I'd encourage you not only to underline it in your Bible, but commit it to memory. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I can't memorize a verse. I couldn't memorize scripture. Of course you can. You probably know the song lyrics to some of your favorite songs. You could probably sing along with every Jimmy Buffett tune you've ever heard. Scripture, far more important and life-giving to memorize. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, I take the topic of anxiety very seriously because I've seen the effect it has on people. I've seen the devastating effect of anxiety, how people are crippled by worried thoughts and by fears. It can feel like for some that there's just a weight on their chest suffocating them. They're unable to move under the feeling, the doom of anxiety. Maybe you've felt more anxious these days. Or maybe your anxiety has kind of gone the other direction. It's gone towards feeling down and low, and you've actually struggled with feeling depressed. Depression is real in our day and age. And these uncertain times just seem to take it all up several notches for you. I want to say to you today, if you struggle with anxiety, I want to be very clear with you that there is not something wrong with you. That God is not punishing you, that you are not in the wrong, that you've not sinned, and this is some sort of effect of it. This is very truly probably how you've been created, to feel and to emote those feelings in the way in which you do. But I would say that if that's you today, if you're more anxious or more depressed, then that's even more reason to fall on your knees and to lean into God in a time of prayer. I mean, I was thinking about how we all have really so much more time on our hands. Now maybe not everyone, and certainly our time is being used differently. You probably still have work if you're working, and maybe work has become more challenging and it's less efficient, it's more cumbersome, and so you don't feel like you have more time. But probably, if not professionally, at least in the personal space that we all live, there's probably more time available to you. Everything's been canceled. All the events and activities and opportunities to engage, and maybe even our opportunities to distract ourselves, have been taken away. And I couldn't help but wonder this week if God could be using, if there was ever a time that God wanted to get the attention of people all around the world, 7 billion people, 2.3 billion Christians in the world, if there was ever a time that God wanted to get the attention of people to talk to him, what an amazing time that this could be. And so that's why this writer says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, here's something that I kind of found new in this verse that I'd never seen before. I mean, he says, you know, deal with your anxiety by exchanging it for prayer. But I just kind of realized that what he's teaching us is not one type of prayer, but actually the writer here is giving us three different kinds of prayer. Now, it's kind of hidden in the words and the English language. The English translation is not really helping us, making it very clear. But he really lists out for us three types of prayer. He talks about prayer, and then he talks about petition, and then he talks about thanksgiving. Those are actually three different ways in which we can pray. Some of you have this this notion that when you pray, that your prayers have to be all lined up and really nice and neat. Like you have to give perfect prayers. Like you've seen someone pray before and you're like, oh man, I could never pray like that person. I know what I got to do. In order to pray like someone else, I got to dress up my prayers with some really big $5 words. Like I need to throw in an omni here and there. And I need to use my deep preacher voice when I pray. And then maybe God will take me seriously. And so some of you, your prayers look more acted out. And you might pray, oh, dear God, righteous and omniscient, I beseech you to heal my Aunt Betty, or whatever your prayer is. Don't do that. In fact, God reserves some of his most harsh words and criticism towards those who act out their prayers. Prayer should just be this natural flowing conversation between you and God. And that's the first type of prayer that he gives us. In fact, he just uses the word prayer. Just simply by prayer. This word prayer is really kind of the idea of calling out to God. And so prayer very simply should be just talking to God. Just in your normal everyday tone and voice and the words that you would normally use in your vocabulary. Just call out to God. Kind of makes me think of picking up the phone and calling someone. Does anyone actually call anyone anymore? Have we reduced ourselves just simply to texting and messaging one another? Prayer is this reminder that you kind of got to go old school. You kind of got to go back to just calling out to God and talking to him. Maybe a more natural prayer in just talking to God would look like something that's just got kind of your own tone to it. Hey God, it's me. You know it's me, but I'm kind of scared. And I need to talk to you because I'm scared about what's going on at work. I've been furloughed, and then I got this email from my boss, and it could be a lot worse. God, I'm really struggling right now. And maybe that's your prayer. Maybe your prayer is about just the health of a loved one. God, you know the people I care about, and you know how they're struggling. And God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right answers are. But God, I'm going to trust that you do. And you just talk to God. Now, any conversation with any person involves two parts. It involves talking, and then it involves listening. If you're only talking in the conversation, then you're not, you know, kind of being a good participant. And so prayer should look the same way. It should look as times in which you're talking, and then other times in which you're listening. You're allowing your ears to kind of have what I call radar. It's kind of picking up whatever God might be laying down for you to just kind of hold on to, or for you to maybe even pick up and do, just listening. The Bible calls the voice of God the still small voice. And we're never going to hear the still small voice if we allow all the other voices, all the other distractions to press into our lives. And so listening takes time. It takes practice. It takes focused attention, focused work in order to hear God and just to listen. It's taken me a long time to develop what I would call kind of this conversational dialogue with God, where I'm really good at talking, but I need to work on my listening skills in my prayer time. And one of the things I've done that's really helped, especially in this mode of prayer, talking to God, is to actually set a timer. I know some of you are like, that seems really cumbersome, or that seems really mechanical, and I want a natural time of prayer. Well, for me, what's helped is when I set the timer, it actually kind of allows me to say, for this amount of time, for these minutes, and you can set the timer for whatever you want. If you're not praying at all right now, set the timer for 1 minute. That'll be a good challenge. Or maybe many, many more minutes. But you set the timer and you just say, you know what? In this time, all I want to do is just listen for the voice of God. I don't want to let my mind wander. I don't want to let my thoughts become consumed with my daily activities. In fact, the timer says I have permission to leave all of my other concerns, all of my to-dos to the side, to push them to the side for right now so that it's just me and God. And you just give yourself kind of those moments to talk and to listen. Second type of prayer he gives us in that verse is he says, by prayer and petition. Now, this is the part you've waited for in prayer. Petition prayer, petitionary prayer, is actually asking God whatever it is you need, whatever it is you really want from him. This is kind of the good stuff, right? I mean, this is where we have license to ask God whatever we need. And of course, these requests of God shouldn't be selfish here. These should be from a heart that wants to carry out whatever God wants to do in the world. In fact, the word petition here is a really unique word in the Greek language. It's the word deisia, and it means a divine entreaty. That you're not just having a conversation with a family member or a peer or a coworker. You're actually having a conversation with divinity, with the divine. And you can ask him whatever it is you need. I love how it's captured by James in his book. James was the brother of Jesus. And James kind of took a long time to come to belief. But when he did, he realized that he could now ask God anything that he wanted. He said, in fact, these words. He says, "You have not because you ask not." Again, full license to ask whatever it is you need from God. And you need to keep asking whatever it is. In fact, the Bible honors persistence and endurance in our prayer life. In fact, there's a great story, a parable that Jesus tells about the persistent widow who every day kept praying and pleading with the judge. And the judge wasn't even a believer, but he finally gave in to the woman because he just couldn't get away from how committed she was in her persistence. We're told to be persistent in our prayers. A long time ago, my pastor, when I lived down in Kalamazoo, when Sean and I just got married, my pastor there had this great way of just thinking about prayer. And he would say that prayer is like a snowflake. It's actually snowing today, the day I'm recording this. And so I'm looking out over snow. But in this way, I actually have a fond thought towards snow. And that's if you could imagine every prayer being like a snowflake coming down. And what my pastor would share with me is that every one of those snowflakes piles up. And that's your prayer life. Every prayer piles up. And you never know when God is going to just break through, when this avalanche is just going to explode of favor and blessing and answers and comfort into your life. It might be the first snowflake, the first prayer, it might be the thousandth snowflake in prayer, but God hears every prayer, every request that you have. So keep praying. Pray with the petition to ask God for what you need. And then finally, the third type of prayer he gives us by prayer and petition. And then he says, with thanksgiving. And I think that's really important to not miss the opportunity to have a prayer that just thanks God. Even during times like this, when we're struggling and we're worried and we have uncertainty, and for me, you know, not meeting as a church and being together, this is sort of what I do. I'm a pastor. I'm called to be a shepherd. I'm supposed to be with the people of God. And we're having to do that differently right now. But even in times like this, we can thank God. We can thank God for the extra time that we're getting to spend with our family, with the people that we love to be with. And we're getting, as I'm finding, opportunities to work on our relationships in our homes. And we savor not only that, but our friendships that are now distant and forced to be online or on Zoom. And so there's always something to be thankful for. I mean, thank God for another meal. You can thank him for the many ways in which he is caring for your every need right now. To be grateful. Just an attitude of gratitude needs to ring through all of our prayers. In fact, if you think about it, who do you want to spend time with more? Someone who's grateful and thankful, or someone who's just sort of selfish and expects the world to revolve around them? That should be the attitude we bring into our prayers, just of thanksgiving, of thanking God for what we have. That's really the simple way of looking at prayer, and prayer should be simple. And so just those three ideas of calling out to God and then in talking to God and then asking God for what we need, and then finally thanking God for what we already have. I imagine for some of you that the concepts of prayer are not the difficult part, right? I mean, understanding how to talk to God and ask God and thank God is not the hard part. The hard part is actually to go out and to just do it, right? To have your Nike moment and to pray and make a time in throughout your day, make many times to pray to God. And so I want to help you with this, but I also want to challenge you. In fact, I want to call our church to a season of prayer, of focused prayer, of trusting God in what really are hurting times. And though we're separated, the Bible tells us that we can be joined together in our prayers, that we are not alone, that we are joined together in this conversation, this communication that we have with God, both in the times that we pray together, but also in the times we just pray privately in our own lives. And so I want to challenge you to make this a season of prayer for you personally, wherever you need to grow, in whatever way in which you need to grow in your prayer life. I want to challenge you and boldly ask you to stretch yourself in this time of really digging deep into prayer. I think I've learned that more than anything, what we need right now is we need prayer. You know, I miss the church. I miss being together. I miss the ministries that are part of what we experience here at church. We've had to cancel so many of our spring ministries and things that we've had on, programs that were coming up. But far more than any program, what's needed is bold prayer from every single one of us in the church. And so I'm calling you to it. I'm going to call you to make a daily commitment to pray every day. You set the time, you stretch yourself in what that would look like, but a commitment to a daily habit of prayer. I want to just close our time with a word of prayer. And so if you would bow your head and pray with me, and it might help to just get in a real relaxed position, just kind of take maybe a really deep breath, just breathe in the life of God. And with your eyes closed, I want you to hear these words. Father God, we turn to you now, and with our eyes closed and our head bowed, I feel this prompting by you, God, to pray for those that are within the sound of my voice this morning, to remind them, God, that you look down upon them and that you love them, that you cherish them, that every person within the sound of my voice is accepted by you. I want to tell you this morning that you are his. And though your emotions and your fears and your anxiety may tempt you at times to dismiss the moving of God in your life, the voice of God that's available to you, I want to remind you that he is real. He is more real now than ever before to you. And you can call on his name and you can have a conversational intimacy with God through his son, Jesus. And it can begin just even now, just reaching out to him. And so I encourage our church, and I pray for our church, God, that we would become people of prayer, and that we would trust you with our own lives, and that we would trust the people around us into your hands as we talk to you and as we ask you for great things, for great faith, for our world to be healed in all the ways that it needs it, God, that you would be the answer to our question and to our pleading of prayer. It's in your name we pray. Amen.